John Batchel with Tanya Bronigan. Her new book is Red Memory, The Afterlives of China's Cultural Revolution. It is August 1966. We're at the Beijing Normal University's attached girls' school. This is a girls' school, young girls, for the elite of the party, the elite of Beijing. There is a vice principal, a teacher, Bian. She is murdered over the next several days. We're introduced to her not in person, but through the memory of her husband, Wang Jingyao. Tanya, Wang has assembled a memory of those events, and he was taking photographs at the time, and he keeps them all these years later. What is it that he hopes someday those photographs and those memories will achieve?
Very much like Peng Qian, he really felt that the events of the Cultural Revolution, and particularly the victims of the Cultural Revolution, had to be remembered, had to be commemorated, had to be mourned. Because, of course, when his wife first died, even to mourn her would have been a dangerous act. And so although he created a sort of shrine to her in their home for him and the children to remember her by, it was one that they had to hide for many years. So that very act of love, of loyalty, of mourning in itself was dangerous at that time. But he really believed, he took the risk of keeping, for example, the clothes that she had been wearing, of taking pictures of her murdered body to show the brutality that had been meted out to her by school pupils, her own pupils, keeping the bloodstained clothes she'd been wearing, keeping the hideous caricatures and the angry, what were known as big character posters, posters denouncing her that had been put up around their home. He kept all of this secretly because he wanted people to know what had happened. And I think, like many people, he felt not only that it was about doing his wife justice, about doing victims justice, but about remembering that time so that it didn't happen again.
The events lead to this are simple enough to, in the diary. In May of that year, Mao Zedong put out what is known as the notification, intending to, in some way, disrupt natural order. In August of that year, there is the invention of the Red Guards, the Cultural Revolution, large events in Beijing. The attack on the teacher, however, comes somewhat before the large rally at Tiananmen Square. And it is striking because remembering this for Tanya in her reporting is a person who's compulsively keeping a diary of those moments. And yet that diary itself is now an artifact that is, does it put our diary keeper at risk?
So Yu Xiangjun, for many years, was writing, was blogging about her experiences as a Red Guard. That is something that she stopped doing several years ago, around the time, in fact, of the 60th anniversary of the Cultural Revolution. Sorry, around the time of the 50th anniversary of the Cultural Revolution. And that is not something that she has returned to. So I think probably listeners can conclude for themselves. It does feel like a very different era now in terms of what can be discussed and debated. And of course, as when we spoke about the museum, memory, history has always been very tightly controlled within the People's Republic of China. That's become more so over the years. And even the limited space for popular memory, for independent memory, I suppose you might call it grassroots memory, has now really been reined in to such an extent that there are very few alternative voices there.
The murder took place over several days. It didn't happen all at once. And teacher Bian was aware of the violence and aware that no one was going to help her. No one was going to step in. It's quite extraordinary. These are female teenagers who are beating to death slowly over days and torturing someone of great authority and great learning. The daughter of a banker, that becomes useful as a tool to justify these thoughts, but they're teenagers. So I'm not looking for philosophy here. There was one particular teenager present at the time, born 1949, Song Binbin. And why she is important is all these years later, I believe she's still with us. She was the one in the photograph that frames the beginning of the Red Guard. She's on the stage with Mao Zedong. That day, she was with him. Do we understand why it was her? She was the daughter of an elite member of the party. Is that what picked her out to be there?
Yes, she was very well connected. And through her family connections, she was able to climb up to the rostrum and present Mao with this Red Guard armband. It's important to say that while Song Binbin was one of the pupils of Bian Zhongyun and was one of the pupils who first denounced her or denounced the school's leadership for what was seen as being against the revolution, being revisionist, counter-revolutionary, that she wasn't one of the people implicated directly in the death of Bian Zhongyun.
I understand that, but that is also introducing what is memory. And your book is explicit that this is a story that we cannot solve with memory. That memory, you write, is an act of creation. And I'm struck by the irony here that the remembering itself usually puts, as you report, the rememberer, the person going there in his or her mind, at the more center of affairs. But in this instance, those remembering, the then teenagers, now women in their 60s and 70s, as they remember, they become more and more marginal. It's almost as if they're fading from the scene. They're describing it as an historian. And you as the reporter are aware this is going on around you, and you're recording it. Do they tell different stories at different times? Is it always the same story, Tanya?
I think what's really striking is that these are people who have chosen to talk about the events of that time. And this is one of the things that was very interesting about the sort of upsurge that we saw in people talking about their memories of the Cultural Revolution around perhaps 2010 to 2014, that people were not only talking about the terrible things that had been done to them, as they might have done in the past, but we began to see more people talking reflectively about the responsibilities right. that they bore for what had happened. And so just to come out to apologize to Bian Zhongyun, as these friends of Song Binbin and Song Binbin herself did, that was a bold step in many ways. But it was also a step that was very controversial because many people felt that in their reflection, perhaps they had not gone far enough, that they didn't want to talk right. about the full extent of their responsibility, and that while they might not have been, while they were not the people who physically beat Bian Zhongyun that day, that the responsibility they bore in criticizing her in the first place, in making her a target, they still hadn't quite reckoned with. And so what was really intended as a moment of reflection and taking of responsibility, and perhaps a moment that might heal some of the wounds of the Cultural Revolution, in fact became deeply controversial, with other people saying it was really a way to exculpate themselves.
Let's go to the Red Guards themselves. Red Memories book, Tanya Brannigan. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.